synchronicity. Jung's closest colleague, Marie-Louise von Franz, writes, "It is a remarkable coincidence that at approximately the same time as physicists discovered the relativity of time in their field, C.G. Jung came across the same fact in his explorations of the human unconscious. Jung called those moments where an inner situation is expressed through events in the outer world synchronicities, which he conceived of as being a contact point for physics and psychology. It is our classically conditioned minds that impute a sequential linear order, time for example, onto the synchronistically arising present moment, thereby obscuring our realization of the synchronistic nature of our universe." Jung's idea of synchronicity was the internal corollary in human experience of the seemingly external quantum idea. When he was first bringing out his idea of synchronicity, Jung felt that physicists were, in his words, the only people nowadays who would be able to deal with and bring critical understanding to what he was pointing at. In a synchronicity, there is a peculiar interdependence of external events with the subjective psychological state of the observer. Synchronistic experiences reflect back the fact that the human mind does not exist in isolation from the world, nor is it just aware of the world, but is somehow linked to the world in ways few of us are aware of. In synchronistic phenomena, mind and matter reciprocally inform and reflect each other, as if inseparably interconnected at their core. The mental and physical dimensions are two interconnected aspects, like the form and content of something, only separable in thought, not in reality. The factor that connects the inner and outer realities is meaning. Jung described his conception of physical reality as dreamlike. This correspondence between the inner and outer realities is similar to how events in a dream mirror back the state of the dreamer. If there is no division between mind and matter and the ground of being from which everything emerges, what Bohm calls the implicate order, then it becomes more understandable why our world would have infused within it synchronistic traces of this deeper, all-pervasive inner connectivity. Synchronicities can be thought of as momentary fissures in the fabric of reality that allow for a brief glimpse into the underlying unity of our cosmos. To quote von Franz, "In a synchronistic event, a coniunctio of two cosmic principles, namely of psyche and matter, takes place. And in the process, a real exchange of attributes occurs as well. In such situations, the psyche behaves as if it were material, and matter behaves as if it belonged to the psyche." Jung considered psyche to be a quality of matter, while at the same time conceiving of matter as a concrete aspect of the psyche. Jung was fervently interested in questions such as, in synchronistic phenomena, how does it come that even inanimate objects are capable of behaving as if they were acquainted with my thoughts? In moments of synchronicity, psyche and matter, despite seeming to be opposites, disclose their inseparability, revealing a deeper dimension of existence where they are the same thing. Though synchronistic events reveal them to be interconnected on a deeper level, psyche and matter are, conventionally speaking, what we refer to as inner and outer reality. These strange, inexplicable coincidences that Jung called synchronicities often consist of a highly unlikely but auspicious and attention-grabbing coincidence between inner states and outer events. These highly unlikely events can be referred to as being probabilistic miracles, in that on the surface they seem like miraculous violations of natural scientific laws, but are actually anything but. These synchronistic probabilistic miracles don't contradict the natural sciences, but rather are quite compatible and consistent with, and actually exploit, the probabilistic and observer-dependent nature of quantum mechanics. According to one interpretation of quantum theory, every possible state actually happens in some potential or parallel universe. This is to say that the highly unlikely but possible can be realized in reality, even if the probability is exceedingly low. There is a world of difference between something being, in Wheeler's words, incredibly ridiculously unlikely, compared to being completely impossible. Quantum physics is shedding light on the nature of this boundary between the possible and impossible. It is questioning what is truly possible. To quote Wheeler, "Quantum mechanics does strange things to what we call causality, if we examine it with sufficient care." Jung realized that the causality principle, what he calls one of our most sacred dogmas, was insufficient to explain certain manifestations of the unconscious. Causality is rooted in the notion of time. Abandoning the causal conception pushes pure physics toward the realm of metaphysics. As an explanatory principle, causality is only one possible category of thought for describing the connection between events. Just as Einstein added time to space to produce the much deeper concept of space-time, in which space and time are inextricably linked in one unbroken continuum, in his idea of synchronicity, Jung proposed a new principle in nature, completing the notion of causality by adding a non-causal link. We have to abandon, in Jung's words, a causal description of nature in the ordinary space-time system, and in its place to set up invisible fields of probability in multidimensional spaces. Synchronicities only make sense in a holistic, dreamlike, and magic-filled universe, which is to say that they appear utterly nonsensical or impossible from a pre-quantum mechanistic perspective. Along a similar vein of thinking, Philip K. Dick refers to the possibility of human beings being able to discard the modem of causation as the basic ontological structuring category by which world is ordered, arranged, understood, permitting a much more accurate and acutely qualitatively different experience of reality. In this radically transformed experience, Dasein of reality, a way of being in the world or participating in shaping world, the observer participant had to wait until such discoveries and realizations as quantum mechanics. We are talking about the lifting, for the first time in human history, of a massive perceptual/conceptual occlusion having to do with the ontological structuring factor we call causality. The discoveries of quantum physics are allowing us, for the first time in human history, in Dick's unforgettable phrase, to discard the modem of causation, which, until removed, acts as an occlusion to seeing reality, whatever that is, more clearly. Wheeler sounds like a combination of Dr. Seuss and Yoda when he says, "Why demand of science a cause, when cause there is none?" Quantum physics widened the threesome of classical physics, space, time, and causality, to include the acausal orderedness of synchronicity, thereby making it a foursome. Interestingly, Jung considers getting from 3 to 4 a 2,000-year-old problem. Pauli refers to it as the main work. Getting from 3 to 4 is the age-old problem of alchemy, encapsulated in the axiom of Maria Prophetisa, "Out of the third comes the one as the fourth." Viewing numbers as symbolically representing archetypes, shifting from 3 to 4 adds a sense of completion, bringing about a unity. The overly rationalistic perspective of physics, losing a holistic view of reality, had fostered the will to power of the human shadow. Adding the fourth is to embrace the irrational element of nature and of ourselves. In its investigations into the nature of matter, quantum physics is encountering the epistemological boundaries of rational thought. Psychologically speaking, going from 3 to 4 symbolizes a stage of inner development known as the individuation process, which is what the magnum opus, the great work of alchemy, is all about. The alchemical procedure could be seen to represent the individuation process of a single individual. Could quantum physics be on the modern-day vehicle for the individuation process of our species on a collective scale? Somehow, the revelations of quantum physics are in the service of connecting us with the holistic nature of the universe, which necessarily brings to light and reveals the unified part of ourselves. Whether the realization of our deeper unified holistic nature actually occurs or not is a function of how we wield the creativity inherent in the open-ended freedom of our quantum nature. To quote Jung, synchronicity is no more baffling or mysterious than the discontinuities of physics. It is only the ingrained belief in the sovereign power of causality that creates intellectual difficulties and makes it appear unthinkable that causeless events exist or could ever exist. But if they do, then we must regard them as creative acts, as the continuous creation of a pattern that exists from all eternity, repeats itself sporadically, and is not derivable from any known antecedents. This quote by Jung has an interesting footnote in which he adds the following. Continuous creation is to be thought of not only as a series of successive acts of creation, but also as the eternal presence of the one creative act. From this perspective, there is a single underlying event that appears spread out and elongated throughout time and space. In a synchronistic event, there is usually a felt sense of participating, as Jung puts it, in acts of creation in time. Interestingly, in quantum physics, the act of observation itself is considered to be a unique act of creation in time, what Wheeler calls an elementary act of creation. The resultant universe, arising concomitant with our observation, continually unfolds from the singular now moment, generating endlessly unique explications of itself that give rise to the appearance of sequential events happening over linear time. If we are not careful, we can easily become entranced by this display, imagining we live in a linear sequential world, which would be to fail to recognize our participation in the one creative act in the eternal present.